Chapter 16. War in the Webway. Dynasties, the Lords of Terror. The Golden and the Soulless. The enemy was without number, an ocean without an end. No two figures in their uneven ranks were exactly alike, each one seemingly born into its own breed, conjured from a unique nightmare. The alien air carried the sounds of crashing blades and waves of searing heat, and above all it brought the creature's stench, too strong for even respirator masks and the custodian's own helmet filters. War had a scent of its own, the spice of human carrion underlying the physoline reek of spent bolts and the ozone tang of air ionized by las rounds. But this was a reek beyond reason. The smell of unearthed plague graves, with the killing sicknesses living on in the stripped bones, the charnel stink of hopelessness as blood runs from riven flesh, the salt scent of dirty sweat that lines a murderer's brow. And above it all, the charred porcine stench of sizzling meat fat, that pyre smell of burning human bodies. Sagittarius held his ground against this rank tide. Never had he felt farther from the Emperor's light. One thought played out through his mind again and again. We are going to lose the city. The stench of the unburied dead outside the city walls was near toxic. For what seemed like days, even in this timeless place, the enemy had hurled themselves at the 10,000 upon the walls, achieving nothing but the running of their own blood. The true battle had begun when the Legio Ordax pulled down the impossible city's walls. Beneath the barrage of fire and plasma and explosive shells, spat down from the high barricades, a host of Warhound Titans had done the work almost alone, achieving triumph at the cost of their lives. Each of the war machines staggered and burned beneath burst shields and blistering armor plating, as their harpoons cracked through Kalistar's wraithbone walls. In ragged disorder they pulled back, dragging sections of the wall with them, tearing rifts for the masses of infantry to spill through. Not a single warhound survived to enter the city. Their smoking wreckage lay as monuments in the great tunnel expanse, amidst the stilled tide of slain space marines and rancid smears of demonic ichor. A warmer welcome lay in wait once the foe pushed into the city itself. The Silent Sisterhood and 10,000 manned every bridge and junction, reinforced by hordes of Mechanicum battle servitors and the towering colossi of the Legio Ignatum. Every wall and tower still standing had long ago been fitted with turrets, and the city's defenders funneled the advancing tides into courtyards that became slaughterhouses, across bridges that were detonated beneath the teeming press of demonic creatures and sent plunging into the abyss, into avenues that became killing grounds. The streets were winding, maddening routes through a city that already made no sense. Reports rattled at the edges of Sagittarius's perception, some streaming across the red lens of his visor slit, others coming in a stream of conflicting vox voices. He processed all of them with unconscious focus, concentrating on pushing forwards. The custodians at his side were veterans of centuries of war at the Emperor's side. They moved in the loosest amalgamation of a squad, more akin to a pride of hunting lions than a squad of soldiers fighting their way through city streets. Yet they never hindered each other. They had transhuman senses and reflexes, coupled with absolute familiarity with each other warrior in their midst. Theirs was a unity that needed no artificial synchronicity. It lacked the gene-bred precision of the Legiones Astartes, moving in the cohesion of their lifelong squads, but the Emperor himself had engineered it to be thus. His Space Marine legions were built upon the principles of tradition, brotherhood, and conformity. The 10,000 weren't bound by such crude rote and militancy to foster obedience. They were left to possess greater individuality, and their bindings of loyalty took the form of other, subtler restraints. Sagittarius led Ra's own squad for his strike team. Armed with guardian spears and paired meridian blades, they were Squad Dynasties, called the Lords of Terror by the Emperor himself, not without a sense of irony. Each one was the scion of now-dead royal Terran bloodlines, the sons and nephews of warlords and witch queens, taken as tribute in conquest and inducted into the 10,000. Once they had been 20 souls, bled down to 12 after 5 years of fighting in the Webway's tunnels. They now moved at a dead sprint, their spears reaving through corroded bronze swords and hewing through unnatural flesh. Sagittarius led them, his contemptor shell more than able to keep pace with even a grav rhino. Somewhere, a titan sounded out its warhorn cry, abrasively projecting its machine roar through external augmeters. Another railed in answer, beginning a chorus of distant, arguing metal godlings. "We're going to lose the city." Sagittarius had no blood left to run cold. Whatever synthetic hemovitae sustained him in his amniotic sarcophagus didn't mimic human blood in such poetic, pointless ways. Without orbital surveillance, he couldn't be sure of the battle's wider scale, but the voice-shattered vox was alive with unwelcome revelations regarding the enemy's numbers. More legionaries, more creatures, more titans than any of the 10,000's outriders had reported. Horus, or more likely that accursed witch-king Lorgar, had found a way to flood the Webway with his minions. "We're going to lose the city." Beasts with rugged red hides and primitive brass armour howled and spat and cursed in a heaving tide, moving with inhuman vigour on their backwards jointed legs. The blades in their hands were great axes and swords of primitive metal, marked with runes that made the custodian's eyes ache just to witness them. Chariots raged through their midst, crescent wheel scythes tearing their own ranks as often as through imperial formations. Artillery hurled profane payloads upon the defenders, not with the mechanicum's volleys of massed energy, but in mimicry of the battlefields of ancient Terra, when such skyfire took the form of crude physical rain. The enemy launched everything at their disposal, from the hulls of wrecked mechanicum tanks and great hunks of the city's broken architecture to the severed, ensorcelled heads of the imperial dead. They were especially fond of the latter. Skulls rained from above, coming down upon Sagittarius in a crashing hailstorm. They broke upon Dynasty's Auramite plating, detonating into clouds of choking blood mist. Hundreds more burst across the wraithbone buildings nearby, or fell to shatter on the rising street. The mist thickened quickly, rendering automatic vision filters useless and unable to pierce the red fog. Blinded, he sensed shadows in the mist reaching for his hull with gripless clutches, their shadowed embraces ghosting through him. A more superstitious man might have believed them the spirits of whomever had lost their skulls to give the demonic artillery something to fire. Sagittarius weaved away from the reaching shadows. They didn't register on his senses the way that the warp entities did, but real or false, he wouldn't let them touch him. Sagittarius moved, unseeing and unbreathing, fighting by sound alone. He swung his fist at disturbances in the air nearby when he heard the creak of demonic muscle tissue, parrying with his armoured forearm when the whispery song of blade edges cut the air. He panned his kicking, shell-torrenting cannon down alleyways he couldn't see, butchering demons he could only sense by their howls. Some of the creatures could speak Gothic. Sagittarius loathed these most of all. With voices of shrieking fever and drowning gargles, they called out in a language they had no right to know. "When will the sun rise?" they cried. Could he hear fear in those demands?
"When will the sun rise?"
Sagittarius gave them no answer beyond the fall of his fist and the hot roar of his Keris pattern cannon. He clutched at a horned form in the smoke, lifting the thrashing, shrieking thing from the ground and engaging his pneumatic compression. The beast burst after a mere 3 seconds, falling to the ground in two pieces. One of the halves was still howling. Sagittarius silenced it with a descending metal foot. Turning, still blind, he opened the ichor-wet fist and discharged the thrumming plasma gun in its palm. The magnetic accelerators whined and spat a sphere of caged fusion. Another of the monsters collapsed headless at his feet, steaming as it dissolved. Sagittarius ran on, weaving to the left as the roar of bolt shells passed by on his right. He heard them impact and detonate, felt the wet spattering of ichor painting his hull plating. The foul, hissing fluid sent the temperature gauge on his lens readout spiking high. He heard wheels ahead, wheels of metal upon streets of shaped bone. He saw it. It was big enough for its silhouette to show through the mist. A chariot, yet another crude echo from the Bronze Epoch battlefields of old Earth, rattling along the curving road, pulled by thrashing serpentine creatures. A feminine shadow drove the beasts on with cracking whiplashes from the vehicle's back. Even as Sagittarius was voxing the warning to Dynastes, the driver fell, impaled through the chest by a thrown spear. The vehicle careened from the sloping road, the beasts tangling themselves in their reins as they scattered in bestial indecision. Sagittarius spared a glance for several of his squad plunging their spears through the prone bodies. Whatever the creatures were, they died screaming, sounding almost human. He covered his men as more of the horned foes drew closer, his assault cannon leveled and groaning as it fired. Above the eternal crackle of the vox, he heard the dull crumps of shells punching home. "Advance!" he voxed to Dynastes. The same word, yet again. How many times had he given the order since the walls fell? 100? 1,000? "Advance!" His squad broke from the mist at the next junction. Sagittarius took stock of his men as they materialized from the blood vapor. Their armor was marked with molten ichor, their spear blades smoking as energy fields crisped away the last of the clinging blood. 8, he counted. 9, 10, 11, as Mycorian emerged. "Gathas?" he asked the last warrior. "Down," Mycorian replied. Sagittarius bunched useless muscles on instinct. He was already turning to plunge back into the blood mist when Mycorian moved to stand before him. "I would have saved him if there was anything left to save." A warrior Sagittarius had fought beside for over a century, one of Ra's own brethren, lost in the mist. Reluctantly they moved on, weapons ready, a hunting party at the heart of an alien city. This was no painstakingly planned siege committed by regimented forces. This was the fulcrum moment of a war, avenue by avenue and step by step. The sky around the Godspire was miserable with creatures soaring on the non-existent wind, repelling any aerial approach. Something winged darkened the sky overhead, beating a carrion stink downwards with its leathery wings as it passed. The roaring shape of a stormbird raged after it on howling afterburners, raining spent shell casings on the warriors far below. Sagittarius's retinal display dimmed to compensate against the sudden brightness as the stormbird went nova. Its gold and silver hull was torn from the sky with a dragon's roar of wrenching, protesting metal. The demonic shape that sent it to the ground flew from the falling gunship, its black wings beating to carry it free of the detonation. He looked across the arching bridges to the Godspire, still too distant to make out individual defenders. Gunships rose from nearby, only to be torn down like the first, helpless against the sheer numbers of winged creatures circling the central tower. A convoy of Mechanicum crawlers and battlewalkers was threading its way from the tower's west courtyard, attacking through a thick tide of demonic blades and flesh. Sagittarius and Dynastes sprinted across the long bridge, their strides sending echoes through the bone ground. Spears that were growing dull through overuse still cut and carved, blasting their foes apart through the slam of power fields against flesh as much as by the blade's fading capacities to cleave. Sagittarius was reduced to using his empty assault cannon as a bludgeon. Another gunship streamed overhead, spinning on screaming engines, falling into the abyss between the great city platforms. "We're going to lose the city." It wouldn't detach from his thoughts. The bridge's previous defenders had been a regiment of Ad Secularis thralls, near mindless but numerous to compensate. As Dynastes advanced upon the demons laying claim to the span, they stepped over the bodies of the cyborg slaves that had died to hold the bridge for a few minutes longer. Sagittarius caught a beast's blade against his forearm. The creature shrieked a demand to know when the sun would rise, and he killed it with the returning backhand swing. The foulness that served as its blood bubbled and gushed forth. Blades and whips lashed against his armor plating, slowing him, sending shivs of pain jabbing into the mutilated limbs floating within his cold cradle. He killed and killed and killed by instinct and rote, too weary now for bloodlust or the joy of battle. He saw Mycorion on the ground, with three jagged swords drilled through his back. Standing over his companion's fallen form was Juhasa, another of Ra's so-called Lords of Terror, his guardian spear long lost, fighting with his paired meridian swords in a swirling dance. He wouldn't leave Mycorion's corpse.
"He's gone!"
Sagittarius shouted at his kinsman. Juhasa had lost half of his face, his features abraded down to the bone. One eye gone, his jaw hanging slack, he didn't have enough muscle left on his face to speak. His acknowledgement of Sagittarius' words came through motion alone, as the other custodian cut his way closer. Up close, the damage was far worse. Juhasa's helmet had been wrenched clear, taking a significant section of the back of the warrior's skull and brain matter with it. Blood had washed into the recesses of his pauldrons and soaked his cloak of imperial red. Yet the custodian was fighting on, facing the creatures surging across the bridge, spinning his spear and building momentum. The fact he still stood with those wounds defied reason. Juhasa had no idea he was already dead. Another war horn sounded. Sagittarius knew it at once, that unmistakable clarion cry ringing out across the besieged city. The scion of vigilant light, Ignatum's lone warlord, fought on, claiming another kill. Risking the clatter and crash of weapons against his hull, the dreadnought looked up to the mist-hazed sight of the city spread above and beyond in the great tunnel. Those distant streets were just as choked with teeming bodies and the flicker flashes of discharging weapons. Larger, darker shapes showed titans, and things the size of titans, moving between the bone buildings, laying waste to their surroundings as they grappled and marched and fired. Across hundreds of vox channels, the city's defenders murmured and appraised and coordinated, dangerously cold and calm, where human soldiers would be yelling orders and shrieking of their wounds. Sagittarius ground the dissolving bodies of his foes beneath his iron tread and moved forwards. His name crackled over the vox, going unheard until the third repetition. A recall. A recall back to the Godspire.
"Dynastes is embattled," he replied. "We require a transport." "It will be done, Sagittarius."
"Dio, is that you?" The raider tank resembled a Space Marine Spartan in all but three ways. The first was its increased size. Not only did it possess a larger maw and increased cargo capacity, it was also armoured in dense layers of ceramite, reinforced with rare Martian alloys, considered far too valuable for line service among the Legionis Astartes. The tank was considerably bulkier, turning its smooth red hull into the plated skin of something mythic and bestial. As one might expect, the divided skull of the Martian Mechanicum showed along its sides, along with holy binaric and trinaric scripture, painstakingly etched into every inch of its ceramite plating. The second difference was that it had an armoured servitor-manned turret pod on its roof, giving the massive, quad-bound Volkite culverin array a 360-degree firing arc. The third and most dramatic divergence from the mainstay of the Space Marine Legion's vehicle armoury was the fact it lacked any sign of treads or tracks. This raider skimmed over a metre above the ground, moving significantly faster than its grounded cousins. It thundered across the bridge, its anti-grav suspensor panels protesting, grinding monsters into etheric ichor against its forward hull. The sound of the impacts was the beat of a drum, like great hailstones pounding against a metal roof. Those creatures that weren't pulped by its momentum fared no better. They burned beneath its guns, hordes of them igniting into shrieking silhouettes under the screaming beams of the tank's Volkite array. The hardwired servitor spending its existence in the pod itself had been ritually stumped at the knees and surgically fixed into place, monotasked with simple and entirely vicious find-see-kill protocols. It went about its goal with cold, calculated aggression. It had neither emotions nor nightmares within the shadowy nothingness of its skull. Thus the creatures it faced held little clutch on its heart. Behind the lead tank came three Spartans, hovering on the same anti-grav repulsor fields. These were cast in imperial gold, marked with the eagle sigil of the Legio Custodes. Ra recognized the squad-specific honor markings along the transport's hulls at once. Gang ramps slammed down into the mist, bulkheads whined open. The three gold-hulled tanks disgorged the bulky forms of Jean Madao and his favored Terminator squads, each warrior bringing an incendium firepike to bear. They breathed dragon's flame across the beasts that sought to assail them. Demonic corpus melted as surely as mortal flesh when bathed in pyrochemical fire. The lead tank, proud in its plating of Mechanicum Red, was a monstrosity of wrath and sound. The overcharged squeals of its Vulkite array overlapped one another as it ignited row upon row of the hunched horned creatures. Its gang ramp slammed down last. Only two warriors stood within. A familiar figure clutched his spear low, firing bolts from the hip. The other was clad in foreign crimson, aiming a bolter he didn't fire. His hands shook with minuscule tremors.
"Sagittarius," said Diocletian, reloading his guardian spear. "Your chariot awaits."
Sagittarius ordered his warriors, Ra's warriors, into the vehicle. He was the last to board, still fighting, executing the downed Neverborn that clawed at his ceramite-sheathed legs. Behind him, demonic limbs were ground to poisonous slush in the hydraulic press of the closing ramp. He had to kneel to fit his chassis within the confines of the raider, even with its expanded crew hold. He vented pressure from his hydraulics and settled into an ugly crouch. Within the red-lit confines of the crew bay, he found himself face to face with an inhuman creature hanging from the commander's cupola ladder. His gun limb was half raised before Diocletian stepped in front of it.
"It's harmless, Sagittarius."
Through the scrolling lists of retinal data, Sagittarius saw the creature's wide eyes and slinky, furry form in better detail. Sapien gave an unsimian squawk and scampered away as Sagittarius lowered the cannon. In the driver's throne, Arkan Land held the steering bars with both hands, peering through the vision slit with an old man's squint. He was shaking, babbling. Spit flecked his chin. He stammered questions that weren't questions, questions that he didn't truly want answered.
"What am I looking at? What is this? What are these things? What am I seeing?"
"Back to the Godspur," Diocletian ordered the robed man.
But...
"Stay with us, Land. Focus on your duty. Get us back to the Godspire."
Yes, the spire, the central tower, yes, of course, at once."
The tank rattled and banged around them as it tilted in a heavy swerve, crashing through more of the beasts. As Diocletian was greeting his closest warriors, Sagittarius spared a brief glance at the red figure standing slightly apart.
"Blood Angel," he greeted the barlight.
"Custodian?" Sagittarius turned to Diocletian on slow, whining servos.
"Dio, you took your damn time in the palace."
The other warrior nodded.
"I see you've made a mess of Dynastes. Ra won't be pleased. We've been fighting for 293 hours since the walls fell," Sagittarius pointed out.
12 days of this would explain why you look terrible,"
Diocletian agreed. There was no humour in his tone. Sagittarius took stock of Dynastes and found it difficult to disagree with his kinsman's appraisal. Juhasa was somehow still standing, though his stare was unfocused and he swayed as he held on to the ceiling rail. Solon stood next to him, teeth clenched as whatever corrosive foulness had splashed across his armour still fizzed and popped, unable to eat into the Auramite but slowly dissolving the left side of his face. Solon grinned back at his leader.
"I'll live, Sagittarius."
Arkan Land groaned a weak, troubled cry. The tank bucked as the relic hunter rammed something at high speed, and there was a brief rise as the repulsor lift plating carried the raider over whatever he'd struck.
I can't...
Don't stare at them, Sagittarius interrupted. Fear makes them stronger. Who are you? The dreadnought demanded.
Arkan Land.
I've heard of you. Just get us to the Godspire, said Diocletian. The demon no longer soared on great wings above the city of arcane bone, nor did it stalk alone in silent predation. The wounds it had taken in its hunts were lessons of pain etched upon its corpus. No matter that it lacked the capacity to truly reason, it had still learned its lessons well. The threat of dissolution goaded it towards caution. Incarnate murder was unsuited to naked war, and even immortals could learn from agony. Alone among the horde, the demon was kindred to every other creature. It was the piercing of flesh with a tool of war, and the blood that ran with the first slaying. It was the madness of the mind that comes from murder, and the rotting of a brother's body. It was the savage and guilty pleasure of life triumphing over other life, and the panicked pain of knowing your own death has come. It was the deed that reshaped the destiny of a species. And thus it could hide anywhere within the host. No shape was forbidden to it. No part of the ravening horde saw it as a shard of another power. All were its kindred. The demon shifted between forms, discontented with mere beasts of myth and pagan nightmare. It propelled itself as something feathered and winged, a creature of lies given hunched avian form. It crawled on six legs. It slid across the ground, slug-like on none. The cluster of senses that throbbed within its corpus skull acted in place of sight and scent, drawing it towards the next kill. It thinned its corpus to near nothingness, becoming a virus within another demon's ichor, sprayed against the faceplate of a Martian war robot. It thinned further, to mist, to air, seeping in through the cracks in the machine's armor plating, infecting the biological cortex cradled in the cognitive soup. A moment later, the Castellax turned its weapons upon its own kindred, annihilating them with its cannon and claws. Amused, but unsatisfied, the demon ghosted free of that semi-living cage and leapt skywards, embedding itself in the cold, cold metal of an ornithopter passing overhead. Small effort to warp the vehicle's iron hull, rippling through it, heating it, swelling it, sending biological vein threads through its inorganic form and rewriting the machine's essence. The demon could feel the dull disquiet of the flying vehicle's pilot as she lost control. The ornithopter exploded at the head of its formation. It didn't scatter or fall from the sky. The demon kept the spinning, burning shards of jagged metal loosely together, each fragment of debris taking its own shape. A flock of flickering, scorched raptor things veered and whirled, a host of gargoyles with bodies of shredded metal and fire. Three other ornithopters veered away from the spreading cloud of burning, clawed homunculi, but it was already too late. The cloud of savaged metal razed through them. 1,000 cuts shredded their hulls and wings beyond function, plunging them from the air. The demon lingered within each vessel long enough to savour the sickly sweet death thoughts of their doomed pilots. Then it was gone, coalescing once more in the teeming horde below. With a predator's instinct, it sensed it was being hunted. Somehow, the anathema's daughters could see it, no matter the form it took. When it revealed itself, they were the ones to give chase. They summoned the golden. They directed the machine rage of the towering metal construct striding throughout the city. The rawness of its consciousness knew pain, and it was not supposed to be this way. As strong as it was, it couldn't hold to incarnation if it sustained many more wounds. It bled now. Everything that bled could be killed. The demon had killed several of the anathema's daughters, finding nothing within to devour. Their flesh was tasteless, their deaths without nourishment or joy. It felt their presence as a devouring chill, their nearness dragging at its incarnated form, unwinding the threads of its essence. With low, hungry cunning, it had learned to blend in among its lessers, taking their shape, mimicking the weakness of their forms until the perfect moment at the apex of each kill. Such immersion deceived the golden and the grey robotic souls at their sides, but never the soulless. The anathema's daughters always knew. To face them was to fight crippled and weakened. The demon knew the weary, desperate weakness from its own hunts, seeing the futile thrashings of those it killed most slowly. To face the soulless was to face the same destruction the demon inflicted upon all others. The creature's crude, vicious sentience rebelled at being considered prey. It shifted and changed and drifted, starving itself in the heat of war in a bid to go unnoticed. It ghosted away from the running battles, avoiding those where it sensed the tides of its kindred crashing against the leeching resistance of the soulless. In hiding, it took forms beyond the sphere of mortal sight. It became a disease, then a breath, a death rattle, wet and clicking in a man's throat, a promise, a whisper, a fear, a regret, a thought. It trickled itself into several minds, dividing its consciousness with amoebic mitosis, seeking, seeking, seeking. Many minds were inviolate. They would take too long to overwhelm. These it left alone. Stars would die before it mastered one of the golden. The grey machine men provided simpler conquests, yet they were uselessly fragile to husk ride. It settled in the minds of war servitors at barricades across the city, forcing them to turn their weapons upon one another, and, in rare, precious instances, to fire into the backs of the golden advancing ahead. But the golden destroyed these threats as soon as they became aware of them, and, far worse, there was a paucity of thrill, guilt, or any emotion at all in servitors made to murder one another. They felt too little. They killed without passion or panic. Thus they offered no sustenance. It drifted onwards, plunging at last into a mortal mind that had known enough bloodshed and battle to drench every one of its own memories in bitter red. This man, not one of the grey, nor one of the golden, was enthroned within cold iron. The demon looked through his eyes, seeing the compact confines of a piloted vehicle's cockpit. Males and females chattered in their human tongues and machine codes around him, creating an aura of noise. These weaker mortals looked upon their master as a king. The demon threaded itself through the man's thoughts, twining around the man's aggressive hungers, riding through the lactic tingle of adrenaline in his system. Many of the voices and emotions within his skull weren't even his own. They goaded him with artificial rage, coming from some synthetic source. The machine, it knew. The vehicle itself. These were the Bond machine's emotions, colouring the man's mind with artificial rage. The demon knew, then, where it was. It closed its invisible tendrils around the meat of the man's organs, gently squeezing. Life and lore trickled from the pressured organs, hemorrhaging language and knowledge and insight into the demon's cavernous perceptions. "Moderate," he said, speaking with the mouth of Princeps Enkir Morova of the Reaver Titan Black Sky.
"Aye, my Princeps," replied Tala,
a woman shorn of hair, haloed in cables, hard plugged into her own control throne. Enkir bared his teeth in a wet smile. In harmonic response to its master's amusement, Black Sky blared its war horns across the embattled city.